Our scripture this morning is about a lady that did exactly that. She fell at the feet of Jesus and she said, "All I've got's not much, but it's yours, Lord. It's yours. Take me." Our scripture this morning is found in Matthew chapter 26, verses 6 through 13. Jesus tells us, we're going to see it toward the end of the sermon. Jesus tells us that Mary is proclaiming the gospel in what she did that morning. You know, listen, there does come a time when all of us need to open our mouths and proclaim the gospel to somebody. We need to tell them about Jesus with words. See, the reason that you engage in lifestyle evangelism, the reason that you don't drink, smoke, dance, or chew, or go with folks that do, is so that you can earn the right in someone's life to tell them about Jesus. Because they're not going to figure it out on their own. They're not going to figure it out on their own. But the other way that we proclaim the gospel is in the way that we worship Him. Now listen to me. What you're doing right here, right now, I hope is worship. We call this morning worship. But just because we put that in the bulletin does not mean that worship will or has taken place. Just because we sang a song, just because we read a verse, just because we preached a message, does not mean that genuine worship has taken place. Mary shows us what genuine worship looks like. Will we worship Him as well? Matthew chapter 26, verses 6 through 13. Now when Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to Him with an alabaster vial, a very costly perfume, and she poured it on His head as He reclined at the table. But the disciples were indignant when they saw this and said, "Why this waste?" For this perfume might have been sold for a high price. And we could have put the money in our pocket. And the money given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you bother the woman?" That's a pretty strong word, beloved. "For she has done a good deed to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. For when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her." Is that not amazing from the words that are from the mouth of Jesus? Wherever the gospel is proclaimed, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her. Now, wouldn't you love to have that on your tombstone? Wouldn't you love to have on your tombstone, you know, for me, 1959, 2021, anointed Jesus? I know dead people can't grin, but I would. I'd be grinning down there in that coffin from ear to ear if it said anointed Jesus on my tombstone. Let's pray. Father God, we love you so much. We thank you for the reading of your perfect and infallible word in our midst this morning. And Lord God, as you illumined the heart and mind of Matthew when you gave to him this perfect and infallible recollection of what Jesus said and did, that you would illumine our hearts and minds as well. And that we would go forth from this place, not only understanding, but applying worship in everything we say and do. Lord God, we love you so much. We offer this prayer in and through the name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Master. Amen. Now, just a little bit of context. Last week we began looking at the plot to kill Jesus. These guys have had enough. Okay? They've had enough. And if you go through John's gospel, you want to know what the final straw for these guys was. The final straw for these guys to kill Jesus was what? Raising this woman's brother from the dead. Yeah, this is that Mary. This is not Mary the mother of Jesus. This is not some of the other Marys that are mentioned throughout the New Testament. This is Martha's sister. Lazarus' sister. When this guy raises your brother from the dead, what else do you do? You get a knee. Amen? You get a knee. And whatever you got, let me ask you something. Everybody in this room's got a child associated with them. If that child were grievously ill, how much of what you own would you hold back to save that child's life? Would you give up your vehicle? Would you clear out your bank account? Would you sell your house and live in a pup tent on somebody's property if that's what it took? You'd give up everything you had to save that child's life. Jesus has raised this woman's brother from the dead. And there is nothing that she and her sister have that she's going to hold back in using to worship her Lord and Savior. Now, I know they're looking at me like, where's he at? I don't know. We'll get back on the notes sooner or later. Now, we got to imagine that this vial of perfume, it's more than what a Jewish lady would wear around her neck. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. That this was a bigger vial of perfume. That it was worth a lot of money. Now, we know one thing for sure. That Mary and Martha lived in the same house. Right? For whatever reason, they lived in the same house. And so you got to imagine that if there's a vial of perfume in this house that's that valuable. John tells us that it was worth a year's wages. A year's wages. So for my family, it'd be like $20. You could get... No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. This would be like a year's wages for them. And you got to imagine that this vial of perfume would not be hidden away somewhere. That it would be in a very prominent but very safe location within the home. And Mary has seen Jesus raise her beloved brother from the dead. And she is wondering, what could I give him to thank him for what he just did for my brother and my family? And Jesus... And what we saw last week, we've seen a lot of ironies in Matthew's gospel. Okay, I'm back on my notes now. We've seen a lot of ironies in Matthew's gospel. But the most ironic of all of them is what we saw last week that Jesus said in chapter 26, verse 2, after 2 days the Passover is coming and the Son of Man is to be handed over for crucifixion. Verse 5, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the religious leaders said, we can't do this during the festival, otherwise a riot might occur among the people. There's an irony right there, beloved. Jesus says that humans don't believe this is going to happen. Humans, listen to me. Do not believe I'm going to be the ultimate Passover lamb. But Jesus said God has another plan. I am going to be the Passover lamb. And in 2 days, they're going to put me to death. They may not know it yet, but they're going to put me to death. And so she has heard Jesus say, I'm going to be put to death. I'm going to be crucified in 2 days. Now, what's the difference between Mary and the disciples? She believed the Word of God. The disciples did not. She believed the Word of God, but wait, there's more, and acted upon it. And acted upon it. And the disciples did not. And so as she's looking around her house, her eye fixes on that alabaster jar. Now, that might have been something that belonged to both her and Martha. We don't know. But the Spirit of the Lord rested upon her and said, He said He's going to be crucified in 2 days. Now here's the deal. In Israel, you don't bury people. All burials are done above ground, just like it is in Belize. It's one of those unusual things when we take Belize to the first time that there's a cemetery in between the mission house and the place where we usually get gas. And all of the graves are above ground. In fact, from the mission house, if you turn and look west, there's a grave of a baby that died just outside the fence of the mission house, above ground. They bury above ground. But criminals, and especially those that were crucified, were treated like the trash society believed they were. They brought them down from the cross. They threw them into a common pit just outside town and covered them over with dirt. The ultimate final disrespect for this criminal. No one would claim their bones and reunite their bones. Remember what it said when all of the kings died in the Old Testament? You remember that? What was one of the last things that was ever said about any king as you were going through all... Oh, you didn't go through all those verses that talked about the kings because they were too boring? And you didn't read Numbers because it's too boring? And you didn't read Leviticus because it's too legally? You ought to read those books, beloved. But anyway, what we read at the end of every single one of those kings is, and he slept with his fathers. Now, what does that mean? It means that his body was put in with the body of his family. That they were all there together in a common tomb. Burial practice to this day is that when somebody dies, they will quickly get them entombed. And then after a period of time, when the flesh has had a chance to decay, they go inside the tomb and remove the bones of their loved one and put those bones with the bones of other family members. So by burying someone who had been crucified in a common pit and covering them with dirt, you were disrespecting them in a major way. And so the Spirit of God says to Mary, anoint him. And now listen, I'm not going to put Mary up on a pedestal. She's just as human as you and I are. There are very few times when somebody's taking up an impromptu offering that you didn't reach into your wallet not caring how much was in there and grab everything that was in it and just drop it into the plate and let it go. Don't you love when you... I love doing that. I love when a missionary or somebody will come along and they'll say, we're going to take up a love offering. And the Spirit of the Lord just said, Larry, reach for your wallet. And I'll start to look down and say, Larry, don't look at your wallet. Don't look in there. Because if you do, you won't do what I told you to do. All right, Lord. How much? All of it. Reach in there and grab whatever's in there and throw it into the plate. Put your wallet back up. Don't even think about what you just did. Well, think about what you just did, that you impacted people around the world because you was obedient to me. I'm sure Mary looked at that alabaster jar that had been in her family for a while, and a year's wages in this thinking. Yeah, but what about Martha? And finally, the Spirit of the Lord was just weighing on her so heavy, she knew what she had to do. She knew what she had to do. She knew, listen, that Jesus deserves the very best that we have. Verses 6 and 7. We understand, I want you to get this. We understand that Jesus is willing to be associated with what high society calls the hoi polloi. You know that? You know that's what snobs call us? That's what rich people call us. Rich educated people call us. The hoi polloi. Common people. Jesus is willing to be associated with this man. Now, aren't you glad that we don't do the same thing that people in that culture did? Let me throw a name out to you and see what comes up. Rahab, the harlot, right? How'd you like to go down through history being remembered as a whore for the rest of your life? Even after you'd come to God, even after God had used you to deliver His people, throughout the rest of history, you're known as Rahab the harlot. Aren't you glad we don't hold people's past against them that way? Aren't you glad that when they repent of their sins, that we forget them and never hold those sins against them for the rest of their life? Probably another sermon in that, isn't there? Well, here's this man, Simon. And Matthew tells us that he's Simon the leper. Now, obviously, this is important. Why? Because Jesus had a disciple named what? Simon. Simon Peter. And so Matthew wants you to be sure that you understand. But Matthew is also saying, Simon, you know the leper. To show you something very important about Jesus. Jesus is not ashamed to be in the presence of people with problems. Jesus is not afraid to be in the presence of people that got issues. Jesus is not ashamed. Somebody's going to have to shout hallelujah after this one. Jesus is not ashamed to be known to be in the presence of somebody that's got a past. Hallelujah. Because let me tell you something, beloved. You've seen it. Every sinner's got a future. And every saint's got a past. Every one of us have got a past. And Jesus loves you so much that He is willing to be in your presence. He is not ashamed to be associated with me and with you. Now, women in those days would wear a small vial of perfume around their neck. And they were allowed to do this on Sabbath. Now, why would they do that? They didn't have running water back then, beloved. And what water they did have to bathe in wouldn't have been very clean. And so, it's a whole lot better for a lady to wear a little vial around her neck to kind of ward off the week's work if you catch what I'm saying. Because if you think Lazarus stunketh, depending on what they've been up to, they stinketh too. Okay? But they would let her wear that around her neck even on Sabbath. Now, why is that important? Because to wear something around my neck, like that vial of perfume, is to carry a burden. And to carry a burden is to work. And work was specifically prohibited on the Sabbath. And yet they would let ladies wear their perfume to kind of stave things off. Mary is shown to be a woman of genuine gratitude and love and devotion. Now here's the deal. She heard the same thing in verse 2 that the other people in the room heard. She had insight. They had sight. They saw what Jesus said. They heard what Jesus said. They didn't believe it. This woman saw and heard, and she believed it. Now let me show you something else that's going to get you going. Where is Jesus? He's at the mayor's house, right? He's not. He's in the city council chamber, right? He's not. He's in the house of, I'm going to teach you a Hebrew phrase, the Am Haaretz. It's the Hebrew equivalent of the hoi polloi. It generically means the people of the earth. But by the time of Jesus, it had come to mean an ignoramus, an uneducated person, or an uncivilized person. And I chose that term on purpose because I want you to understand that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the second person of the Godhead, is perfectly content to spend his time among people just like you and me. Somebody say amen. My Bible says where two or more are gathered in his name, he is among us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is not ashamed to be among the common people. Now, Mary worships Jesus. And I want you to notice something when your Jehovah's Witness friends try to convince you of something. My favorite go-to, even in their Bible, if they're somehow messed up and are carrying the New World Translation instead of a King James, they won't bring a new world into your home, beloved, because it contains errors. They don't believe it does, but it contains errors that you would recognize immediately. But they believe that it's the only acceptable version of the Bible. And so when they come in, one of the first questions I'll ask them, what translation of the Bible is that? And they'll always say, well, it's King James. And I'll say, well, then we have a problem, don't we? And they'll look at me and say, why is that? And I said, you're trying to deceive me. Whoa, we're not trying to deceive you. Yes, you are. You brought a Bible inside my house that you don't believe is a valid translation of Scripture. Why did you do that? Why did you bring a Bible inside my house that you don't believe is valid? And that kind of gets them backing up. But here's my favorite go-to, even in the New World Translation. John 20:28 is right after the resurrection. Thomas had missed the first appearance of Jesus to the disciples. And he had said, I won't believe y'all until I put my fingers in the holes in his hands and my hand in the hole in his side. And Jesus appears and he says, Thomas, reach forth. And what does Thomas do? My Lord and my God. He worships Jesus as God. Mary is worshiping Jesus. Now, why would I say that? Because if Jesus was not God, Verse 29 would say what? The same thing it says in Acts when people tried to worship Peter and John. Get up. Don't try to worship me. I'm just the messenger. Jesus said, you've seen and you believe, and blessed are they who did not see and yet believe. Jesus does not correct Thomas's confession of him as Lord and God. And Jesus sits here, listen to me, Jesus sits here and accepts, not only accepts, but commends Mary for the worship that she has shown. Could I ask you a question? Do we understand just how much we owe him because he has drawn near to us? Because he has healed us of the disease of sin? Let me tell you something, beloved. Sooner or later, this old shell is going to stop working. I get it. I know it's going to. Okay? I looked at Angie at the beginning of this and I said, listen, with all of this COVID, I'm either going to get it or I don't. If I get it, I'm either going to live or I won't. I don't care one way or the other. What I do care about is endangering someone else. That's what I care about. Sooner or later, this body's going to die. But I praise Jesus of healing me of something that no doctor will ever be able to figure out how to heal. And that is the disease of sin. Because all the COVID can do is put me in the grave within the next few days. But the disease of sin can put me in hell for eternity. And I can't fix that. Jesus is the only one that can fix that. Verses 8 and 9. Jesus just told you that he's going to die within 2 days. And this lady comes in, and she just over the top worships Jesus. I mean, John tells us that not only did she anoint him, that this was head to toe, that she got down on her hands and knees and anointed his feet with oil. She worshiped him. She worshiped him. You would have thought the disciples would have joined in and smelled that sweet smelling aroma and remembered the Old Testament, remembered what Jesus had shown about himself from Isaiah, remembered what he had just said, that I'm going to die, I'm going to be crucified. And would have joined in worshiping him. But they are indignant. And I want you to look at their words. Why this waste? Let me tell you a secret to life, beloved. We've got it backwards. We've got it exactly backwards. Everything you have under your stewardship that is not being used for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, you wasted your money on it. Your car, if you're not using it for the glory of God, you wasted your money on that car. Your clothes, if you're not using your clothes for the glory of God, you wasted your money on those clothes. Your food, if you're not using your food for the glory of God, you wasted your money on that food. Everything you have not devoted to the glory of God was a waste of your time and your energy and your money. These guys got it backwards. Because nothing else that we do matters unless we rightly understand the priority of Jesus. He delivered you from your sin. He translated you from the grave. He enables you to stand on the graveside of a loved one and laugh in your heart and say, oh death, where is your victory? Oh grave, where is your sting? There is no mere human that can do that. What don't we owe him? Anyway, we ought not be stingy in our expression of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never waste anything on the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when David came into Salem? And he wanted to build his capital there. And he came across a guy that had a threshing floor. And the guy said, "Hey, Dave, you're the king. Take it." And David said, "I will not offer to God something that costs me nothing. I will not offer to God something that costs me nothing." Verses 10 through 13, and we'll close quickly. Jesus defends what Mary's done. He's pointing them back to Deuteronomy 15:11. See, they at least remember that a lot of Jesus' ministry had been focused on the poor. At least they remembered that much of it. Okay? That's kind of a joke in our family. Angela always asks me, "What's the sermon about tomorrow?" And I'll just grin. And she knows what I'm getting ready to say. "Jesus." And she'll say, "Oh, I knew that." "Well, then what'd you ask for?" It's just a joke in our family. These guys at least remembered. Let me ask you a question. Let me tell you something that'll revolutionize your marriage and all your other relationships. Jesus just told them he's about to be crucified. He's going away. In 2 days, he's going to be crucified. What if my phone just vibrated and I looked at it and it was some kind of an emergency and I just walked out the door? Didn't even look at my wife, didn't wave at her, didn't tell her where I was going. And then I called her from where I was. I can't hug her one last time before I leave. I can't kiss her one last time before I leave. I can't hold her in my arms and tell her how precious she is to me and how much I love her, and I'll be back as quick as I can. Do you get it? They're not going to be able to see Jesus in person for a while. In 2 days, they're not going to be able to see him in person for a while. They're not going to be able to look at him face to face like they have for the last 3 years. In just 2 days, that's going away. They're not going to be able to feel his touch on them, to see his smile. He's going away. And they need to take advantage of every opportunity that they have to stop bothering genuine worshipers and to worship him. Here's what will revolutionize your marriage and all your other relationships. Don't you ever walk out the door of your house without looking at the person that is the most significant in your life, catching their eye and saying, "I love you." You may not be back. That may be the last time you ever said, "I love you," to that individual. How would you like for the last words that you ever said to somebody to be mean words? Maybe y'all were having a fuss and you just weren't ready to be over it yet. And your last words to them were, Always tell people that you love them, that you care about them, because you're not always going to have them with you. All right. Mary probably did not understand the full significance of what she did. And it shows us the consequences of the simplest action done for Jesus may be much greater than we think. Listen, I told you, I'm not going to go through the story again, but I told you a few weeks ago about Mark and I meeting this pastor. And the first thing that Mark did was that he gave that man a bottle of cold water in the name of Jesus. Years later, that testimony is still circulating around Belize. Untold hundreds, if not thousands of people have been touched because Mark Roth handed a man a cold bottle of water. Never underestimate something that you do for Jesus. Mark probably had no notion that he was unleashing a lion of God in Belize with a bottle of cold water. But he did. He did, because that was in God's providence for him to do that day. So don't you ever underestimate the consequences of the simplest action done for Jesus. Mary was anointing her Savior, even though the world would look at him in the next few hours as a criminal. She acknowledged him as her God and Savior. And it was the ultimate act of love and worship that she could do for him to show her love. Let us love him and worship him in view of his love for us in the same manner as Mary. Oh, beloved, I wish we were all ready to do some extraordinary thing for Jesus. Willing to be laughed at. This lady was willing to be laughed at. She was willing to be scorned. Jesus says, "Why do you bother?" In other words, they've been bothering her for a while and it's still going on. But Mary, listen to me. Mary's got her worship on and she's not letting them bother her. When you're at the feet of Jesus, you don't care what other people are saying or doing. I wish that we were willing to be bothered while we were worship, to be scandalized because we went out of our way and we were not content with doing what everybody else could do or approved to be done. Mary proclaimed the gospel through her love for Jesus. That's what verse 13 says. And it says it from Jesus' own mouth. Will we proclaim the gospel through our love for him? Will you go forth this morning with your life transformed, ready to worship him and proclaim your love and your absolute devotion for him in everything you say and do?